Good evening, everybody. Over Shabbos, we began to discuss some of the halachos that apply during an Eis Tzara. And we spoke a lot about the definition of a tefillah be'Eis Tzara and how that finds itself having different halachos than that of Hilchos Tefillah throughout the rest of the year. So that's what we spoke about over Shabbos, and perhaps we'll touch on it in the coming days, but I just want to shift our attention a little bit to another halacha that comes up be'Eis Tzara, and that is the sugya of making a neder be'Eis Tzara. So by way of introduction, let's first get a little bit into the sugya of nedarim. Let's talk a little bit about what a neder really is about and what are the guidelines for making a nedarim or being matir a neder, and then we'll discuss how that plays out when it comes to an Eis Tzara. So we have a pasuk that says, Ishki yidar neder o hishava shvua leser iser al nafsho lo yachel dvaro. We said in this past week's parsha, that a person has to be careful to effectuate all of the words that he actually announces from his mouth. A person has to make sure to follow through with every promise that he makes. So the Aruch HaShulchan, when he gives his introduction to Hilchos Nedarim, he points out that if not for the fact that the Torah would have told me that there is a parsha of Nedarim, I would have said that perhaps this would have constituted an Isra of Bal Tosif. The Torah tells us there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that one has to do, certain averis a person has to be careful not to do. Who are you to come and add to the Torah to take away? Who said you should go ahead and take a nether upon yourself that you're not going to eat potato chips today? Where does that come from? Perhaps to take a nether upon yourself that you're going to bring a carbon. Okay, that's a mitzvah. But who said that there's such a institution as making new isurim on yourself? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, if not for the fact that the Torah would have said openly and explicitly that there's a parshan of nedarim, I would have said that one who takes a nether is in violation of Bal Tosif. That's why I need this pasuk over here to say not only that there's a halacha kechala yotzi mipiv yaseh, that a person must make sure to fulfill everything that he promises, but also on top of that, the Gemara assumes that from this pasuk we see that it's mutter to take a nether in the first place. So let's look into that for a minute, and then perhaps if we have enough time, we'll get into nether based Sara. If not, we'll continue tomorrow night. The Gemara says in Chulin, on Daf Beis, as well as in Nedarim Daf Tes, a very famous Gemara, commenting on the pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk says, Tov asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo teshalim. What does that mean? It's better not to take a nether than to take a nether and not follow through. Classic example. Somebody comes around and says, take Mishnayis for a shloshim. Everybody signs their name. Comes to the shloshim, everybody forgets about it. Right? Am I the only one? So the pasuk says, Tov asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo teshalim. It's better not to sign up in the first place. Or if you sign up, at least write b'li nether, or say that you're only accepting b'li nether, because if you're not going to say that, it's worse to take the nether upon yourself and not come through with it than to actually take the nether and then violate the nether that you have taken. So that's what the pasuk says. So it's a very interesting machlokas that the Gemara has both in Nedarim and in Chulin, the same machlokas, Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says like this. The pasuk tells us, Tov asher lo tidar, misha tidar velo teshalim. Best is not to take a nether at all if you know that by taking the nether you're not going to follow through. Says Rameyer, not only that, Tov Mizeh Mizeh. You know who's better than both of these? Better than the person who doesn't follow through on his nether. Is the person, Tov Mizeh Mizeh, She'en Another Kalikr. Best case scenario, the safest place to be in life is, don't take any promises. Don't promise anyone that you're going to do anything for them. That's what Rameyer says. That's the best thing a person can do for himself. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. No. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Best case scenario is what? Take a nether and be mekayem your nether, follow through. Of course that's better. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have this machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, best is, don't ever take nedarim. Rabbi Yehuda says, best is, take a nether and actually be an honest person and follow through with it. Take those mishnayos and make sure you do it.
Don't we wipe out slate clean there of Yom Kippur saying, no nether is going to count?
Okay.
You
let's say I take a nether that I'm going to eat potato chips every Monday and Thursday for the next year.
Count.
What?
It won't count.
What do you mean it won't count?
Doesn't
mean you should just make nedarim. Hataras nedarim is an emergency hetter that we use because we don't want to violate our nedarim that we made, but we're not supposed to do that.
And the final paragraph says, I want you to know that from now on, any nedarim that I make will not count.
So why do we say that? Because we're not supposed to be making nedarim. That's an emergency hetter that we need. But best case scenario is not to make the nether at all, Rav Meir says, or Rav Yehuda says best case scenario is make the nether, take upon yourself to do something, and then actually follow through and make sure you do it. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Yehuda then qualifies his statement and he says, when do I argue and say that the best thing for a person to do is to take a nether upon himself and actually fulfill it. Says Rabbi Huda, that's only by a nether which is of the harezu kind of nether. What does that mean? There's a difference between a nether which is harezu and a nether which is hare alai. What does that mean? Harezu means, I say I want this watch to belong to Hegdish. I specify, I want a particular item to belong to Hegdish or to belong to someone else. Hare alai means, I take upon myself to give a watch to Hegdish. I don't specify. Says Rabbi Huda, when do I argue that it's better for a person to take a nether and actually follow through? That's only if the person's going to pick up an item and say, I want this watch to go to Hegdish. Why? Because once I single out an item, the chances are I'm going to remember to actually give that item. But let's say I take upon myself, I'm going to do something, I'm going to give something to Hegdish. We all take pledges, somebody calls us on the phone and says, "Huh, can you pledge this and this amount of money for this and this organization?" Who knows where the money's actually going, but how many of us actually write out that check? If you say to them on the spot, I'm putting aside $20, here it is, come pick it up, there's better chances that you're going to get it. So then, Rabbi Huda says, when do I argue that it's better to make a nether and actually follow through? Says Rabbi Huda, that's only when I make a nether of Hare Zu. I make a specific item belonging to Hegdish or given to someone else. If I say Hare Alai, then Rabbi Huda agrees that it's too dangerous because a person's probably going to forget about it. And that's where Rabbi Huda would agree that Tova Sherlo Tidur at all. So the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this halacha. Shulchan Aruch paskins, Tova Sherlo Tidur, best is not to take Nadarim at all. However, Zakta Shulchan Aruch quoting a Gemara Nadarim Daf Ches, that when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, if a person wants to, he knows that he comes late to Shul. So he says, you know what, I'm going to take a nether upon myself that I'm never going to come late to davening for the rest of the year. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, even though we generally assume that it's best not to take Nadarim, however, the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, then it is a nice thing to take upon yourself a nether. Why? Because the Pasuk says, in Tehillim, Nishbati Va'akayema, Lishmar Mishpatei Tzidkecha. What does that mean? I took a nether upon myself to make sure that I'm going to be more careful about your mitzvahs. So says the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Ches, and this is the way we paskin in Tzimmer Reish Gimel in Yarvadeya, that when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, then we would encourage people to take upon themselves Nedarim. So if we would stop there, it would be very nice. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch there in Reish Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be Soser himself. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch tells us, when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, person should take a nether. If he sees himself coming late to Shul, if he sees his Mezalzel and Tefillin, he should take a nether, I'm never going to talk in my Tefillin again. Good. If he sees that he's talking during Shmona Esrei, during Chazaras HaShatz, take a nether, I'm never going to talk again during Chazaras HaShatz. However, in the same Simon in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch also paskins, that a person should never take upon himself a nether to give tzedakah. A person should never take upon himself a nether to give tzedakah. Zok to Shulchan Aruch, if an ani comes to you, don't take upon yourself a nether, give him the money, give him a check, give him something right now. But if you're going to take upon yourself a nether, the Mechaber says not a good idea. Why is it not a good idea? The Mechaber just told us, when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, the rule doesn't apply. When it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, we generally assume, Nishbati v'akayema lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha. It's a good thing to take Nadarim upon ourselves. Why? Because we encourage ourselves to do a mitzvah. So why is it that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, the Mechaber assumes that all bets are off, you're no longer allowed to take a nether? What is the difference? And in fact, if you look there in Siman Reish Gimel, the Gilya Marsha and other Achronim, the Radvaz, all say that they disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. The same way you're allowed to take a nether for any other Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to take a nether that you're going to come to Shul on time, that you're not going to talk in your tefillin, that you're not going to look at your phone the whole davening, so too you're allowed to take upon a nether upon oneself that you're going to get stuck on. What's the difference? So what's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch? Why does Shulchan Aruch say that there's a difference between mitzvahs and the mitzvah of tzedakah?
What makes a nether a nether? You have to use the word nether, or do you say, I'm going to take upon myself now, I'll come to shul on time, like you said before?
That's a nether.
That a nether?
That's a nether. I mean, the Achronim talk about a minig.
Self-improvement. I'm not saying I'm making myself a nether.
So the Achronim say that if a person does a minig tov three times, that's already considered like a nether, even though he didn't say anything. So if I come to shul every day on time, that I would assume is a minig tov. So minig tov is binding mitam neder. Hanaga tov, right? Minig tov, we assume, is considered some sort of quasi neder, although I didn't even enunciate it. Let's say I get an aliyah. Here's a big discussion. Maybe we'll talk about it some other time. We don't have enough time tonight. But if I get an aliyah, so you say bavur sheyitein, I say matana. But in my mind, I'm thinking how much money I want to give. Correct?
Yeah.
I think most people think that.
Yeah.
When you say matana, you just don't want to say it out loud. Either you're embarrassed, you're giving too little, or you're humble because you're giving too much. But you generally don't want to say exactly what you're thinking. But you're thinking something. You know how much you want to give. Let's say after Shabbos, you change your mind. Yeah, I didn't want to give that much. So is that already chal mitam neder? Many achronim discuss that perhaps neder is even chal machshava for tzedakah. If a person gets his aliyah, and he thinks b'machshava that he wants to give $100 to the shul, he's mechuyev to give that. Even if after Shabbos, his wife sees him writing out the check, she says, oh, what are you giving $100 to the shul? So that's perhaps already a neder. So you see, nedarim doesn't always work that you have to actually say it. Perhaps even a hanhaga tova or even a machshava tova would be enough to be machayiv someone. So we'll talk about that.
The Gabba says, b'li neder, I'm giving $100,
b'li neder. Oh, so b'li neder is b'li neder. B'li neder means you're not making a neder. Okay. So how do we understand this stira and shulchan aruch? How do we understand what's the difference between mitzvahs that one is supposed to, one is encouraged to make nedarim, whereas when it comes to tzedakah, we assume that the best is not to make nedarim at all. What is the difference? So I was talking to my father about it this morning. He suggested the following. He thought, when does the Mechaber say that one, Nishbati Vakayema Lishmar Mishpatei Tzekecha, when do we assume that we encourage a person to take a nether for a Dvar Mitzvah? That's, let's say, for something. Most of the times I come to shul on time. Once in a while I slack off a little bit, I sleep late, I press snooze, I come late. So I want to be mizaris myself, I want to encourage myself, strengthen myself, excite myself a little bit more. So I say, in that type of scenario, you know what, I'm going to take a nether to strengthen myself, I'm going to take a nether to make sure that I come on time. When it comes to tzedakah, unfortunately we all know that we're all mezalzel in it. It's not like most of the time we come through with our pledges and once in a while we make a mistake. By tzedakah, people forget all the time. We take a pledge upon ourselves, we don't always fulfill it. More often than not, we don't fulfill it. So therefore he thought that that's where the mechaber practically is being mechalek between mitzvahs and tzedakah. The only time the mechaber said that we should encourage ourselves to take the dvar for a dvar mitzvah is only when we have a dvar mitzvah, which most of the time we do it well. Once in a while we slack off, so we have to take a neder upon ourselves to strengthen our kiyum hamitzvah. When it comes to tzedakah, where so many people are mezalzel in it, and people do not follow through on their promises, then we would assume that by tzedakah perhaps you should not take a neder upon yourself to give the tzedakah. Only if you have the money on you should you give it. If not, you shouldn't. Oh, so that's what the Mechaber says. Sometimes we have a situation where the community could be kafir. Let's say, for example, the community needs to build a mikvah. You say, well, my wife doesn't need the mikvah, or I'm single, I don't need the mikvah at all. So you say, I don't want to pay for it. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra Daf Ches that we're kaifa alat tzedakah in such a case, because since you chose to be a part of our community, and our community has collectively decided that we need to buy a shul, or we need to build a mikvah, or we need to do something, even if you feel that you're not part of that need, still the community could be kaifa alat tzedakah. So when you have a community that's kaifa alat tzedakah, they say, everybody needs to give $100 to the mikvah, otherwise we won't be able to build it. So then, the community took upon it for you. You don't have to take the nether upon yourself. The community was mechayiv you whether you like it or not. And my father once made an extension from that halacha as well. How is the community allowed to be mechayiv me? If I don't need the mikvah, why should I pay for it? Answer is, because you chose to be part of this community. You don't like it, move somewhere else. So the same possibly would apply. My father wrote a long shtickel Torah on this. Let's say I'm on an airplane. And I want to make a minyan, but half the passengers feel that it's very disturbing to make a minyan. They want to sleep. Whether they're religious or not religious, it's annoying to them. So you have to look at rove of the passengers, what do they want? If you chose to come in this airline means we're one community now. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. So now that you chose to come and be a part of this community, you have to follow the rules of this community. The same way the Gemara says in Baba Basra Daf Ches, that we're kaifal at tzedakah, if you choose to be a part of a certain community, you have to follow the rules of that community, so too, if you choose to be a part of the community of that airline that you're flying, and most of the passengers find it annoying for you to get up and make a minyan and make noise while they're all sleeping, then you have to follow the rules, you have to sit in your seat and do what you're supposed to do. That should follow the same halacha, because in Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishpah we do find such halachas about following the rules of a community. So that's something that perhaps would have a very lemaisa nafkamina. In fact, I've asked many, many chashuvei rabbanim over the years of flying that I've done from Eretz Yisrael and back. I haven't heard one yet who says that you should get up and make a minyan on a plane. From all the people that I've asked, not one of them has ever said to make a minyan. And I've asked cross-spectrum. So to me, it's surprising that all of us are mezalzel in this when all the people who really know the halacha say that we shouldn't. So that's perhaps something to think about. I have not asked Chassid. I asked Rav Asher Weiss, who thinks it's an av l'gadolah. Actually, I have asked the Chassid, who's a chashuv paisik, and he thinks that it's absolutely wrong. But this is perhaps why it's wrong, because we have a chiyuv to follow the kfiyah that a community puts upon us. Anyway, this was all an introduction to Hilchos Nedarim, and perhaps tomorrow night we'll continue about a neder be'eis tzara, what the significance of taking Nedarim in an eis tzara actually is. I wish everyone a wonderful evening.